sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called out his name, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace when I looked in the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it. Sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, but Calvary covers it all. My guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and
take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. Let's begin reading in the scripture, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Let me repeat that phrase. The angel said in verse number 5, For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, I ask and pray that you'd help me, give me clarity of thought and mind as I deliver your word this morning. And Lord, as I preach your word, I pray, Lord, that it would be given to those that have an ear to hear and a heart to understand. Lord, open people's hearts to the truth of your word today, and Lord, do a great work in their life. Lord, I ask and pray if there's anyone in our midst today that's lost without Christ, that they might come to know you before it's eternally too late. We ask and pray, Lord, you'd help each and every one of us today to see and to realize the importance of seeking the Lord while he may be found. Father, we ask and pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The context of this passage of Scripture, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has already taken place. The women arrived at the tomb. The stone was rolled away. Jesus was gone. The angel said, "For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." The angel said, "For I know that ye seek Jesus." The women came to the tomb, the empty tomb, seeking the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." I believe that as a child of God, we need to realize this morning that there are great blessings for those that will seek after God. I hope and pray today that you are here this morning because of one reason. You want to seek the face of God. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people come to church. Some people come to church because there's a particular boy at church or there's a particular girl at church. We see teenagers do that. Well, not just teenagers sometimes. Sometimes it's adults. And they go to church for the wrong reason. Sometimes they'll go to church because there's a big potluck afterwards. No, there's not a potluck after today's service, all right? Just let you know that. But sometimes people will come because there's a big feed afterwards. We're glad that they're here. But that's really not the reason to come to church. Some people will come because maybe they've got a special singer that's there or maybe a special musician that's going to play the piano or something. And they'll come to church for those reasons. But the bottom line is each and every one of us ought to come to church today because we are seeking the face of God. And the Bible tells us here that the women after the death and the burial of Christ, they came to the tomb and they were seeking Christ. The angel said, "He's not here," as he said, "come see the place where the Lord lay." So I believe and I hope that each of you came today for the right reason. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to go back to the book of Isaiah. And I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. And I want you to see something that the prophet said about 600 years before Jesus Christ was born in the manger in Bethlehem. And Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 1 through verse number 8, actually gives us a little outline on how a person should seek God. Now, if you came here this morning because really deep down inside of your heart, you wanted to seek after the face of God, well, Isaiah 55, verse number 1 through 8, actually tells us how, as a person, we can seek God. Look what it says in verse number 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." I want you to notice verse number 1. It tells how a person can come to seek after God. I remember before I got saved, there was a hunger deep down inside of my soul. I knew down inside of my heart and down inside of my soul that I was lost. I realized that if I died, I was going to split hell wide open. And I realized that I knew down inside of my heart that I needed something. And I knew I needed God. I don't know where you're at today, but I'm here to tell you, if you've got a longing to meet God, there is nothing else in this world that will satisfy that longing. There is nothing else in this world that'll quench that thirst that you have. I remember before my wife and I got saved, we had visited church after church after church. And finally, I got just disappointed. And I said to myself, man, if this is all what it's about, I'm not even interested. And my sister-in-law ended up getting saved, and then she got my wife to come to church at Trinity Baptist in Findlay, Ohio, and my wife ended up getting saved, and she was badgering me, you need to come to church. I says, I've already tried that. I'm not interested. And finally she got me to go, and boy, I tell you what, when the preacher preached, he got a hold of my heart. And that night I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm telling you, it's been just a completely different world since that day. It really has. But there was a hunger and there was a thirst that was down inside of my soul. I want you to notice, first of all, Isaiah said this in verse number 1. If you're going to seek the Lord, the thirsty are invited to come freely. You don't have to pay any money to come to God. You don't have to have an education to come to God. You don't have to have some type of degree. You don't have to do some type of great humanitarian work. You can come to the Lord freely. It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. It doesn't take money. If you want to come to God, all you have to be is thirsty and come freely. I want you to notice, not only are the thirsty invited, the destitute are invited. He invites those that have no money, come and buy without money. How in the world do you do that? You know, I've never walked into a store and said, hey, come and buy whatever you want. You don't even need any money today. Every time you get to the register, they want your money. Amen. Cash or credit. That's what they say. They want to make sure that you pay the bill before you walk out. By the way, if you don't pay the bill, don't walk out, all right? Because they'll come after you. You see, the destitute are invited to come, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Look at verse number 3. It tells us how we can come and seek God. So number 1, remember, you can come if you're thirsty. If you're longing for God, He'll satisfy you. If you are destitute, if you come to the end of your rope, you have nothing else to give. By the way, that's the only way God accepts people to come to Him. He accepts the destitute to come. And in verse number 3, He says, incline your ear and come unto Me. Hear, and your soul shall live. You know who He invites? He invites those that are willing to hear. That's who He invites. You know, there are some people that say, you know, they've had an experience with God, but you know, they won't even listen to what the Word of God has to say. You try to talk to them about the Word of God, and you try to talk to them about what the Bible has to say, and their mind is already made up before they ever read the book. You know who Jesus invites to come? He invites all those that are willing to listen to what the Word of God has to say. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 6. So those who are willing to hear are invited to come. All those that are willing to hear, and those that are thirsty, and those that have no money, listen, they're invited to come as long as the door of opportunity is open. Look what it says in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, it says in verse number 6. Call ye upon Him while He is near. We don't know when the door of opportunity may close. The Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2. He said, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Today, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved before you leave this building. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Listen, there is nothing out there in the world that's worth dying and going to hell for. You say, "Well, I'll go ahead and I'll do it maybe tomorrow or maybe next week or maybe next year. I've got some things to get straightened out." You'll never get them straightened out without God. "Well, I'll do it later, preacher." You don't know if you've got later. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We read in the news every week of a young person or an older person thinking they had plenty of time getting into their vehicle only to meet eternity before they arrive at what they thought was their destination. He says in verse number 6, come while there's opportunity. Come while there's opportunity. Look at verse number 7 and verse number 8. In verse number 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." The Bible says if we're going to come to God, we must come to God God's way and not our way. We need to come while there is opportunity. Listen, you can come if you're thirsty, and you can come if you're destitute. You can come if you're willing to hear what God has to say. But then he says in verse number 7, there's a prescribed way to come, and that's with repentance. We cannot come just however we want. People have this mindset in our society today. God is like a radio. I can turn him on and off anytime I want to. They have this idea, you know, I can serve God and worship God any way I want to. And no preacher and no evangelist, no teacher is ever going to tell me how to worship God. I'm going to do it my own way. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 12, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you might think, well, I've got it all figured out. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I've got news for you. We can only worship God in the prescribed way that He has given. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we need to realize this morning, those that seek the Lord, the women came to the tomb, they were seeking Christ. There are some blessings for seeking the Lord. And I hope and pray that you came here this morning seeking God. And this morning I want to give you just real briefly 10 things. So when I get to number 8, you're going to know I'm close to being done, all right? So you probably want to write these things down. It'll be a help, it'll be a blessing to you, because those that seek the Lord, there are blessings that follow. There are blessings. How many of you come this morning because y'all wanting a blessing? You wanting a blessing this morning? Amen? All right. Let me share with you this morning some things, some blessings to be found when you find Him. I want you to notice, number one, if you seek after God with your whole heart, if you seek after God with your whole heart, God has promised He shall be found and you'll have life. In Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse number 13 and 14, the Bible, God promises us in His Word. It says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And the next verse says, "And I will be found of you." God has promised if you will turn to God with all your heart and you will seek after God, God will reveal Himself to you through His Word. In Amos chapter 5, verse number 4, it says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live. You know, the same is true for us today. If you will seek after the Christ, he will give you life. In John chapter number 10, verse number 10, he has come to give life and life more abundant. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 2, it says, the Lord is with you. Well, we all like that part, right? The Lord is with you while you be with him. I was talking to a person not long ago, and they said, you know, preacher, the Lord just seems so distant. I pray and he just seems like he's not there. I go to church and there must be something wrong with you, preacher, because I sit in the messages, I don't get a thing out of them. You know, at the same time, I'll have people come to me afterwards, they'll say, boy, preacher, that was a great message, it really blessed me. So I don't know who's right and who's wrong, amen? But you know, they'll come to me and they'll say, you know what, I just don't get anything. And when I pray, it just doesn't feel like God's there, and I read the Bible and it doesn't speak to me. If God feels distant to you, I want you to remember this. God hasn't moved. God has not moved. It says in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I want you to notice point number one. If you seek God with your whole heart, you're going to find him. God promised it. Point number two, the blessings of seeking after God. If you seek, God will give you joy. He will give you rejoicing of heart. Those that seek after God shall rejoice. Psalm 105 and verse number 3, it says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Why can the believer rejoice? How can they rejoice? Why is it that the believer, even though hard times are at their doorstep, why is it that they can rejoice? I tell you why they can rejoice. Because God is faithful. God hasn't moved. God's promises are sure, and they haven't changed. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul said to the church of Corinth, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, with every temptation allow a way of escape, that you might be able to bear it. Put it in layman's terms, that verse says, if God closes the door, listen, if you seek after him, he'll open a window. Those that seek after God, they can rejoice. In Psalm 40, verse number 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. In Psalm 70 and verse 4, it says the exact same thing. It says, except it goes on, it says, and let salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified. And so, listen, the child of God, when we seek God, one of the things that he says that he'll give you rejoicing. What is it that makes your heart glad? What is it that brings joy and rejoice into your heart? I'll tell you what it brings me joy is when I get into God's Word and I seek after the face of God, and all of a sudden God shows up and he speaks to me and he shows me some truth and he guides me and directs me and protects me, and I look back on my life and I say, you know what? Jesus led me all the way. I want you to notice the third thing. Those that seek after the Lord, here's a benefit for seeking after God. God will give you understanding. He will give you understanding. You know, the more I endeavor to live the Christian life, the clearer things become. The clearer things. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:5, it says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You know, it's amazing when, as I talk with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and I see that they're walking with God, and they're reading God's Word, you know what? There is a know about them. There is an enlightenment about them. They understand the things of God. They understand the things that are happening in their life. And those people that seek after God, they have an understanding about them. And then you come across people that are lost. And they're drowning in their own self-misery. And they don't understand the things of God, and they don't understand why God works the way they do, and they are very blameful, and they blame God, and they blame others for all their problems. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, a lost person, they do not understand the things of God. Now, they might be able to say, well, you know, the Bible says Jesus went down to Jericho, and they might be able to say, okay, Jesus went down to Jericho. But as far as the spiritual things, they just can't see it. Because the Bible is a spiritual book, and they have no means of discerning spiritual things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The more I seek Him, the clearer things become. You want to have clarity in your life? Then you apply Matthew 6:33 to your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want to have clarity in your life? You want to have God's blessings on your life? You seek God first in your life. I want you to notice the next thing. Number three, those that seek the Lord will have understanding. Number four, those that seek after the Lord, they're not going to have want in their life. They're not going to have want in their life. I want you to notice in Psalm 23, that famous verse, verse number one, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I am not going to be in need. I'm not going to have that want in my life. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 25, David said, "I have been young, yet now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Listen, if you seek after God, God will take care of you. You say, "Well, preacher, I've been seeking after the Lord, and I've gone through some really difficult times." I realize that many of us go through some dark times. But that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ hasn't been there to help you and to sustain you and to hold you up. The psalmist said, "I shall not want." I look at what the world has to offer and all of the fineries of life, and all the heartache that comes with it. They can have the world. Just give me Jesus. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. I'll take the abundant life over what the world has to offer any day. I want you to notice, not only will a Christian not be in want. And by the way, if you line your wants up with God's wants, whatever God gives you, it's going to be okay. Because when all of this life is over, Brother Bob, we've got a better place going. Amen? We've got a better place, Steve. No more health problems. Never have to worry about pancreatitis again. Praise the Lord for that. No more diabetes. Never have to go to a dialysis machine again, David. You see, we've got a better thing that we're looking for. A better day coming. Whatever God gives us, it's okay. Because it must be by design. I shall not want. And then I want you to notice, number five, not only I'm not going to be in want, I'm not going to be confounded. I'm not going to be confounded. In Psalm 69 and verse 6, it says, "Let them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake, and let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel." You know, we're living in a day and an age when there's a lot of confusion. If you don't believe that, turn on Fox News. And you can watch the political arena, the circus, as they say. And people are just so confused and so confounded. But I'm here to tell you, listen, if you will seek after the face of God, you will not be confounded by anything. I want you to notice the sixth thing. Those that seek after God, you won't be confounded and you will not be forsaken. You know, there's one thing that I just hate is being forsaken. Amen? You know, you give to people, you help people, you pray for them, you labor for them, and boom, they're gone, forsaken. I don't know about you, but rejection is a hard thing to swallow. Amen? But I have to come to this understanding. The one that really counts said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. The one that really matters, he said that he'll always be there for me. In Psalm 9 and verse 10 it says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." And if you will seek God with all of your heart, He will not forsake you. You may be going through the fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may be in the lion's den like Daniel. You may be going through the great waters of the Red Sea like the children of Israel. But listen, God is not going to forsake His own. Amen? "They shall not forsake thee." The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God is going to be there and help us through those difficult times. Those that seek after God with their whole heart, they'll not be forsaken. And the Bible says that they will be blessed. In Ezra chapter number 8 and verse 22, it says, "The hand of our God is upon them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him." Let me ask a question. Where's the Lord in your life? Are you seeking God wholeheartedly with your life? I hope and pray that that's why you came here today. But I'm here to tell you this. If you will seek God, He will not forsake you, you will not be confounded, and God promises that He will bless you. In Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 22, it says, "The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it." You want to have God's blessings? You seek God, and you seek Him first. Seek Him with your whole heart. Let me give you number 8. Those individuals that will seek God, with their whole heart, the Bible says that they will be rewarded. They will be rewarded. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse number 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see, there is a key there. We have to diligently seek after God. That word diligent means to strive after with painstaking effort. I remember when I was in high school and I was running track. I was not a distance runner. I hated the 2 mile. I just hated it. Put me on the 100, put me on the 200, that's fine. I mean, put me on the quarter mile, that was fine. But I hated the distant run. And after about a half a mile, I'd start getting a pain in my side. And, after about a mile and a half, I just felt like, Why am I doing this? I hate this, you know. I mean, put a sprint in front of me. I mean, boom, it was over. It was all good. The word diligent means to pursue with painstaking effort. I remember watching one of the marathons a number of years ago, and there was a lady who was running in the marathon, and about a mile to go, she slowed down to where she was just dragging. And she was could no longer run, she could no longer walk, she was just kind of going like this. And about 100 yards from the finish line, she collapsed. And people ran over to her, and she was going like this and pushing them away. Get away from me, I need to finish. And she drug herself. And I remember watching the video as she drug herself across the finish line. Her knees were bleeding, her palms of her hand were bleeding, and she was 100% completely wasted for the race. She was pursuing the goal with painstaking effort. Would to God that every Christian would pursue the Christian life with such energy and such desire. For those that do, the Bible says, God will reward them. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think the problem with average Christianity is this. They're just average. They haven't pursued with painstaking effort, so therefore there's no reward. They haven't stayed up all night praying for a loved one. They haven't gone ahead and they haven't striven to go ahead and get through the Word of God, even though you might be stuck in the Book of Chronicles. Amen. My wife is reading right now through the Bible again, and she says, "Oh, I'm just so thankful you got me another tablet because we put a program on and it'll read it for you as you're reading it. So that way, when she gets the Maharala Heshbaz, it'll say all those big words for her." Amen. Who would name their kids those things anyway? I don't understand that. But you know, listen, if we will pursue with painstaking effort, the Bible says He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If all you want is an average Christian life, don't expect any blessings from God. Don't expect any miraculous things to happen. Because He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Then I want you to notice number 9. If you seek after God, God will give you rest. I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty weary. And I'm tired. And I've come to understand this. My rest is in Him. I keep telling myself, well, when the building project's over, I'll get some rest. And I know I'm just kidding myself because there'll be another thing that'll come up. There always is. The other day I was looking back over the past 30 years. On Wednesday, April 6th, I'll be marking the 30th year of preaching here in Oak Harbor. On April 6th of 1986, my wife and my 3 kids, who were very small at the time, we went to the American Legion Hall on Park Street and started holding services. And it's been a whirlwind ever since. We were there for 6 weeks. We moved into the old church building at the corner of Church on Ottawa Street, the old Methodist building, and we remodeled it and painted it and fixed it and cleaned it up and built in a baptistry and, I mean, put plastic all over the windows, plexiglass, and fixed the furnace and patched the roof and all of those things just in order to sell it. And a few years later, here we were out here on this property, breaking ground. And 6 months later, We were starting to raise the original building over there in 1993. Started building a building over there. Built that building, and in 2003, 10 years later, we built another building out back in the fellowship hall. And 12 years later, here we are, we built this. And I'm thinking to myself, man, is there ever going to be any rest? Brother Mark said, Pastor, what are you going to do when you get that building filled up? I said, I don't know, Brother Mark. I says, don't even talk to me about it right now. I want to think about getting this building done. Maybe I'll have some rest after this building gets done. Listen, the rest is not found when we complete a task. Our rest is found in the Lord Jesus Christ daily as we walk with Him. And we might say, you know what, when this portion of my life is over, when I get the kids raised and when I get them through college and when I get this accomplished in my life, I'm going to have some rest. You will never have rest until you learn to walk with Jesus Christ every day. Because He is our rest. And without Him, there is no rest. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And as we yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ and we walk with Him each day, listen to me, He will carry the load for us and He will give us rest for our lives. What type of burden are you carrying? What type of bondage are you under? Jesus Christ is willing to yoke with you. And He's willing to pull the load and bear the burden for you. You see, those that will seek the Lord diligently, you're going to find rest. Even in the midst of labor, in the midst of hard work, in the midst of trouble and pain and anguish, He'll give you rest. And those that seek the Lord, they desire to put the Lord first in their life. Let me give you number 10. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, and that last verse, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those who seek the Lord, those who diligently seek Him, those who pursue the face of God, and you are in a pursuit for God. The Bible says, if you seek Him, you'll dwell with Him forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know why I'm here this morning. I'm here this morning because I want to seek the face of God. I want Him to meet with me. I want Him to speak to me. I want to feel close to Him. I don't know why anybody else is here. I hope that's your heart's desire. I hope that you desire to leave this place like Moses coming off of Mount Sinai and he glowed because he was in the presence of God. I hope that's the case for each and every one of us. I hope that you came to seek the face of God. What a blessing to seek Him and find Him. What a blessing to know that if I died today, I would be ushered into the presence of God because He is my Savior. He is my Lord. What a blessing to know that my sins are forgiven, that they've been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you sought the Lord? Has there been a point in time in your life when you realized that you were a sinner and you realized that you were under the condemnation of God and you realized that you needed a Savior and you turned to Jesus? Jesus Christ by faith and said, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm on my way to hell, but in Jesus' name, save me. Because that's why I know you came. Has there been a point in time in your life when you called on God and asked Him to save you? What a blessing to know, to have that assurance that we're in Him. When you truly find Him, you'll be grateful. You'll be satisfied. You'll be content, whatever God allows to come across your path. Have you sought Him with your whole heart? If not, why not? Those that seek the Lord, God will bless them. The Bible says that those that seek after the Lord shall not want any good thing. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Let's bow forward to prayer, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me remind you that God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die upon the cross of Calvary and to shed His blood that He might pay for your sin and for mine. And if you will call upon God and ask Him to save your soul, Jesus Christ is willing to save all those that come to Him by faith. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come during this invitation and let someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, that you can be saved and know it. Today, maybe as a Christian, you're away from God. I'm here to tell you, you're as close to God as what you desire to be. And if you will return to God, He will return to you. If you will draw nigh unto God, the Bible says He will draw nigh unto you. And if God has spoken to you, we invite you to come this morning and surrender your life back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, Lord, we do ask and pray that You'd bless in a great way. Bless this invitation. Lord, save those that are lost. Help us, Lord, daily to seek Thy face. We'll give You all the praise and the glory for everything that's said and done in Jesus' name.